When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey there, everybody, and welcome back to this video on 9 signs of avoidant attachment and ways to address them. I'm your host, Dr. Donnelly Snipes. In the other video, we talked about anxious attachment. Now we're going to talk about avoidant attachment, and this is kind of at the other end, but kind of not. People who are anxiously attached have an undercurrent of anxiety, and they try to cling. They tend to be overly enmeshed and overly needy in relationships. People with avoidant attachment experienced that anxiety, experienced that rejection for so long that they kind of gave up. They figured, you know, people are too much trouble. People with avoidant attachment tend to be dismissive of others when other people want to get in relationships or do things. It's just they don't have time for relationships. They often have a low frustration tolerance and give up easily at the things they do. And we're going to talk again about the parenting styles that led to this, but I'll give you a hint. Parents of people who become avoidant often were not willing to help their child with difficult tasks and, in fact, scolded them or criticized them for not doing well enough. So the child with avoidant attachment feels like nobody's going to help, so why should I try? You know, I run into a problem, no point asking for help because it's only going to get me criticized and ridiculed and ain't nobody going to help me anyway. So they won't ask for help. They often minimize their feelings and thoughts. When they have feelings and thoughts that they become aware of, they don't pay attention to them. Or when people ask them about their feelings and thoughts, they minimize them. Oh, it's no big deal, whatever, it's fine. They often feel ashamed for expressing emotion. People who grew up in environments that produce avoidant attachment were often criticized for being weak if they showed emotion or if they dysregulated. They often have unrealistic expectations of themselves because their parents had unrealistic expectations of them. They have low self-esteem. Well, parents' unrealistic expectations, they couldn't meet those expectations. Not only couldn't they meet them, you know, even if they had help, but the parents weren't even willing to help them. So it was a double whammy. So they feel bad about themselves because they don't feel like they've ever been able to do anything right. Many take it to the extent of believing they don't deserve love. They have this core shame because of how they grew up, that they don't believe they deserve to be loved. And the relationships that they do have are often extremely superficial. They have these boundaries around their heart and around their thoughts that are like fortresses, because whenever they've shared before, it's been criticized or ridiculed or negated. So they don't let anybody in. Any relationships that they have are going to stay up here on the super, super surface level. So what causes avoidant attachment? Well, parenting, as I mentioned before, and there are other things, but they found that people who grow up in certain environments tend to develop more avoidant characteristics. And the person who becomes anxious in their attachment grew up in insensitive and inconsistent environments where sometimes the caregiver was accepting, sometimes rejecting, sometimes just ignored them. In the avoidant attachment household, the caregivers were insensitive. Again, not necessarily always intentionally. Sometimes if the child was neuroatypical, for example, the caregiver may not have realized. Other times, the caregiver may have had an addiction or a mental health issue that kept them from being able to even be consistently aware of the child's needs and sensitive to those. However, when they did notice the child's needs, when the child would cry, when the child would have a need, the caregivers were rejecting. The message was usually, you're too much trouble, you're never good enough, you don't deserve love or comfort. So in these environments, the caregiver either lacked awareness of or responsiveness to the child's needs. They lacked encouragement. So when the child would start to do something difficult, they did not try to help. They did not try to encourage. When the child went from pulling themselves up on furniture to stand to trying to walk, the caregiver didn't hold their arms out and go, all right, come take a step towards mommy. It was just like, yeah, let them do it. They'll fall. They'll get over it. They'll figure it out. So they weren't there to help. They weren't there to hold the back of the bike when the child was trying to learn how to ride a bicycle, for example. All of those things that people with secure attachments had, with sensitive, responsive caregivers had, people with avoidant attachment often did not have. The person who grew up in this environment lacked safety and comfort. When they got upset, when they would cry, when they would get frustrated, they were often shamed for expressing their feelings, for being weak. And the caregivers, as I mentioned, often had unrealistic expectations for independence and performance. The child never measured up. They were always told that they were never good enough and they were always too needy. Interventions. Again, obviously, these are just a few things that might get you started. There are a lot of issues that need to be unpacked for people who grew up without a secure attachment. But begin with mindful journaling about the facts in the present context. People with insecure attachment are often basing their interpretations of the current situation on what happened to them in the past, how their caregivers reacted. If you're in an adult relationship, it's important to look at the facts and consider, with this person at this time, what does this behavior mean? Engage in mindful, non-judgmental journaling and possibly discussion about your thoughts and feelings. People with avoidant attachment were taught to ignore their thoughts and feelings, that they were wrong or unimportant. So it's important for them to start connecting with themselves and start being consistently mindful of their thoughts, wants, and needs. It will be important for them, just like for everybody else, to identify what things in the present trigger their abandonment or their rejection issues from the past and process those so the past does not continue to negatively impact the present. It'll be important to develop distress tolerance skills, such as distress tolerant thoughts, mantras that you can tell yourself that remind you that you can tolerate your emotions, that you are in the driver's seat. Thoughts that say, I'm unhooking. I'm having this thought. I'm having this feeling right now. Instead of, I am angry or I am out of control, saying, I'm having the feeling that I'm angry or out of control. Now, what do I do with this feeling that I have? Activities can include square breathing to trigger the relaxation response. Some people prefer to do other things like go on a walk or sing, for example. Guided imagery, any sort of image that helps you feel safe and empowered can be helpful for tolerating distress. And sensations. Sometimes the best way to turn your attention away from something that feels overwhelming in the moment is to counter it with something equally powerful, like plunging your hands into a pitcher of ice water. Take steps to develop friendships. A lot of people with avoidant attachment have basically given up on other people, learned over time that the people in their past were not safe, so they haven't given anybody else a chance. Taking steps to start developing friendships doesn't mean jumping into a relationship, doesn't mean having to bare your soul to somebody. It means connecting with people in a meaningful way and starting to gradually develop trust. And respect boundaries while getting reassurance that it's not rejection. And as opposed to anxious attachment, where the person with the anxious attachment fears rejection, in avoidant attachment, it's important to respect boundaries and have your boundaries respected, but also let the other person know, I need some space. This is getting too close for me too fast. I'm not rejecting you. I just need to go a little bit slower. So it's a little bit opposite. Two people who are avoidant do not tend to do well together, because you have two people who really don't want to be in relationships and really don't trust one another. So that's usually not a good setup. People who are avoidant have difficulty with people who are anxious, because one wants to pull away and one wants to run after. So that tends to be a disaster. The best relationship situation for somebody who has avoidant attachment is with someone who is securely attached. Someone who is securely attached can recognize that the person who is avoidant needs a little bit more space, may need to feel safer before they talk about their feelings and emotions, etc. If the videos on this channel have been helpful for you, please support us in our mission to make high-quality, practical content available to everyone. You can donate at docsnipes.com/donate. Join the YouTube channel at docsnipes.com/join. Or you can purchase a thanks on any video that you happen to like. Avoidant attachment is one of three types of insecure attachment that may develop as a result of insensitive, rejecting parenting. The person who is avoidantly attached often is unaware or dismissive of their thoughts, wants, and needs. They've often never felt safe in the world or with other people. They tend to have a low frustration tolerance because they were never given encouragement. When they failed before, they were either criticized or just ignored. They have poor emotional awareness and regulation skills because they were always taught that emotions are weakness and you need to keep that stuff buttoned down. Changing avoidant attachment requires that the person feel safe in the present context. They need to feel like they are able to express who they are without fear of rejection, and that doesn't happen overnight. They need to feel like they're empowered, so they need to be the one to set the pace of things if they want to change their attachment style. And if they do want to change their attachment style, again, they need to be the one to control the pace. This will help them feel safer in the environment. They need to recognize how their relationship behaviors developed as a result of trying to survive a rejecting, neglectful, or abusive environment. They need to learn how to recognize and have compassion for their own thoughts, wants, and needs, instead of telling themselves that they're stupid for feeling a certain way or criticizing themselves, saying, I shouldn't be upset over this. Non-judgmentally, mindfully aware of how they're feeling, and have compassion for the fact that they do feel. Everybody feels. Develop emotional awareness and regulation, and learn how to develop intimacy and genuine connection with others. If this video was helpful, consider watching some of my other videos on abandonment anxiety, developing secure attachment, complex PTSD, adverse childhood experiences, or improving your relationship with yourself.